Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon. This is Bill Young, and welcome to Prayer and Lunch Podcast and Blog Talk Radio Show. Today is a Wednesday, the fourth Wednesday in Lent, March 14th, and I have a lot to go over today. Great things that happened over the weekend. Friday was our second viewing of the DVD by Father Michael Gately, Divine Mercy in the Second Greatest Story Ever Told. And I have to tell you some greatest stories that we had private revelations of those who were praying the Station of the Cross and came to our presentation video. And but before I get to that, I have to acknowledge a comment. And I posted, even though it was it could be a negative comment. And basically, I guess he was listening to one of the things about Jesus and the Holy Trinity and different signs that God gives us. And he states, which is true, no, he does not have to believe it. No, I guess any private revelations, we do not have to believe it. But I would think in a world we're so desperate as now, that's our hope. God shows us he's here presently. And that gets me to a story. So last Friday, Friday night, we're having our second presentation of the Divine Mercy, Second Greatest Story Ever Told, by Father Michael Gately. And again, was asked the Station of the Cross. So our Station of the Cross ends at 7:30, and 8 o'clock is the time that we're supposed to begin the videos. So this Philippine lady says, well, she did not want to wait in half hour to do nothing. You know, we had food and coffee and water, things like that, but she wasn't there for that. So later, previous week, the first lesson was only 15 minutes long, so I played that for her and any new people. And to my surprise, we had a lot of new people who came. So that was great, a blessing from God. So later on, after she listened to another one of our lessons that Father Michael Daly did, she had to share her personal story. And she said, I believe last year she was visiting in her home country of the Philippines. And she saw the Divine Mercy rays. Like all of a sudden it came out huge, bigger than life. And she saw this, and it was just, she was overwhelmed by it. And then so I guess recently at St. David's Catholic Church in Davie, Florida, she was sitting and praying to Mary. And she had this will. Everything around her was like not there. And all of a sudden, Mary came to her, sitting next to her and holding her hand. And so I asked her, because do you know what, you know, what prayer you prayed with Mary? And she said she wasn't recalling anything, only that Mary came, sit next to her, and held her hand in church. So, of course, afterwards, I immediately gave her my personal copy of 33 Days of Morning Glory, consecration to Mary through Jesus, and so I went to my book. And so that, to me, that's an amazing story. Now, do you have to believe those stories? No, of course not. This other woman who was in the Legion of Mary group at St. David's, and she took the pictures, and I could find them, told her forward to me, where she would be praying the rosary, Mary and Jesus, and all of us, she said it happened before, where the different colors of a rainbow in her room, and just like multi-colors all of a sudden in her room. And so there is sign. God and our Lord and through Mary is here. So remember when the Father Michael gave me this statement. God will not be outdone by evil. And when there's great evil, there's also great presence of God. And so those who believe, you know, great. If you don't believe, well, you know, I'm required to, but let me put this way. I personally feel it's better to believe everything because God is here, even if it's, I guess you could say it's made up, or it could be people's delusions. They want it to happen. I don't know what the other side would probably say. But, for example, like St. Crasinitas, he's a great saint that is also, I believe, considered a doctor of the church. And she had a revelation, God actually talking to her. And she wrote it down in her diary. And today, I like to read one of my, the emails with the daily revelation for today is, and it was about confession. So I did at the men's conference. I had an opportunity to go to confession. And funny story, I got there, and I guess the father thought that he was finished for the day. So he was standing ready to leave, and I said, "Oh, Father, can I confess?" So I picked this since you had a choice. You could sit behind, you know, the little curtain box, or sit in the chair next to him. So he apologized for that. I said, "Well, Father, I'm probably never going to see you again." And then he said, "Well, you may see me at Sunday Mass." So I don't know if that's going to happen, but I don't have a problem doing it sitting next to him because today, which I want to read for you, and let's see if I could find it. What was in St. Fascinating? It's about confession. And it's a diary number 1602 for those who have the book. I downloaded it once, and I have to see where I put it. But it states here, and as you know, Jesus had talking personally to St. Fascinating. So, state this is in her diary. "Today the Lord said to me, daughter, when you go to confession, this, my fountain of my mercy, the blood and water which came forth from the heat, from the heart, the heart, always, every time you go to confession, immerse yourself entirely in my mercy, with great trust, so that I may pour out the bounty of my graces upon your soul. When you approach the confessional, know this, that myself, we are waiting for you. I am only hidden by the priest, but I myself act in your soul. Here is the misery of souls and me, God of mercy. Tell souls that from the font of my mercy, souls draw grace solely with the vessel of trust. If there is trust in great, there is no limit to my generosity. The torrent of grace inundates humble souls. The proud remain always in poverty and misery, because my grace turns away from them to the humble souls." So it's a lot to think about that, and I am going to say is. Fourth Wednesday in Lent, and I apologize if I haven't been recording most of these from these little books, drawing near to God. But today is an important one, and for Wednesday, March 14th, finding God. This is important.
And I guess it was in Isaiah 49:18, and then John 5:17-30, today's gospel reading, and second place here. I feel I must give a lie to anyone who says I'm looking for God, but I can't find God. Let that person try to do everything in truth, free from the demons of pride, and suffocating the tendency of egoism. Let everyone trace of racism be rooted out. Let everyone welcome as a brother or sister, and you will see. You will see. Live love, act truth, and honor. It will be God beyond you when you live, act, and honor. God will not come to you because you have become good. God was already there. God has always been coming and always is coming. But now you see God because you have purified your eyes, softened your heart, and stopped down. It states here, how can I prepare myself to see God already present in my life? And it states here about the gospel reading. For John, eternal life is our future destiny, a permanent and undermining existence in God's presence forever, qualifying the differences between natural life from for death that cannot destroy it. It begins now in us by our associations with Jesus and our participation in God's Holy Spirit. Amen to that. And from the pausing to pray mental meditation for busy people, the fourth Wednesday in Lent. And today is a great day because it is meditation from Father Michael Gately himself. That's great. And here is a verse fascinating what he had to say. In the evening, I went in for a long talk with the Lord Jesus. I poured out my heart before him, all my troubles, fears, and apprehensions. And Jesus lovingly listened to me and said, be peace, my child. I am with you. In her diary, so 1674. And here's Father Michael Gately's meditation. Dear Jesus, how often I forget to speak to you. Here you are with me all the time. You're in my heart and pervade my being, and your beauty fills the earth. So why do I often forget you? Well, I don't forget me. You don't forget me. You shall hear now. Thank you for listening. Now I want to listen to you. Speak your words of peace to my soul. Jesus, I trust in you. Very, very powerful words that we have to listen to Jesus. And we also have today, and we'll be doing a rosary, but may not be doing it on the air. I have a choice, doing the rosary on the air or maybe doing some from our 33 days of merciful love. A do-it-yourself retreat in preparation and consecration to divine mercy. And those who want to let you know the schedule for our DVD presentation this weekend is going to be St. David's Carnival weekend. So due to traffic concerns that you may not find a parking spot, there will be no video of divine mercy this Friday, but we will be continuing on the following Friday. So all is welcome after the Stations of the Cross. And so here in day 8, and I recorded day 7 at the Legion of Mary, and I will post that also so for everyone to hear. But it hasn't hit before. This is a new week, and it's consecrating on itself to little Jesus, oh, Saint Teresa, the little flower. And she is kindness of my heart, because she is one of the first saints to show me for her sign with the little flowers that she was here with us and with me. And it states here, and partly, once we get about the videos that we're learning, is about Jansenism. And I knew the effects of it, you know, where every little sin, you're going to hell type of situation. It's all mortal sin. Thinking wrong, you could be thinking and you're going to be going to hell. So that is a careful kind of change that I believe. But so I had a little bit of both, so I understand how St. Teresa, in her childhood, her mother was very much a Jansenist, and so she really was affected by that. So let's see what she has to say. So it states here, the last week we covered the biblical functions of St. Teresa's teaching on trust, which, as you learn, called the little way. This little way bears striking similarities to Abraham's and Mary's faith, the essence of which is to believe that what is spoken by the Lord will be fulfilled. In fact, this young woman from a French town of Lexon, who died in 1897, well before the 25th birthday, lived a quiet and sheltered childhood among dying sisters, and then a quiet, sheltered adolescent close to Carmelite nuns. With some say those are very similar, same sisters. That woman, after Abraham and Mary, is perhaps the church's greatest example of faith and hope against hope. Thus, St. Teresa truly merits both the blessings of Elizabeth. Blessed is she who believes that what was spoken to her by the Lord will be fulfilled. Blessed are you among women. Of course, we have added after Mary. But how can this be? How can such a seemingly unimportant woman be so amazingly blessed? It can be because God's ways are not our ways, and He delights in lifting up the lowly and making the greatest from the littlest. And perhaps no sinner is more lowly and little than Thérèse of Lisieux. Day 8, none more lonely. I just said that perhaps no one among the sinful humanity is more lonely than Therese. Of course, that may be hard to believe. After all, St. Pius X called her the greatest saint of modern times. In 1997, she became the only of the church. So sure, God looks up to her lowly, but is she really that lowly? Well, considering the following. First, Thérèse Martin grew up in a French that was deeply affected by Jansenism heresy, a heresy that teaches a joyless, moral rigorism and emphasizing the fear and justice and punishment and severity and judgment and condemnation. It proclaimed not that the God's good news of God's mercy for sinners, but bad news of God assuming wrath for wherever it is to commit the slightest infraction against what he sees as many pressing needs. It teaches that a few are saved, and that you have to be perfect to go to Jesus, and that you must earn his love, especially multiplying great works and painful sacrifices. Now, Teresa was deeply affected by Janice during her younger years. Perhaps the influence came through her mother, whose own mother was severely domestic, used to hound her poor daughter with the litany of, that is a sin, that is a sin, and that is a sin. But leaving aside the question of exactly how Teresa felt under Jasmine's influence, we can say this much. It affected her at a very young age. For instance, as a child, whenever she made some mistake or did something wrong, even without meaning to, she'd be filled with anxiety and ask for an apology, which would never end. Her mother relates, we tell her she was forgiven, but in vain. She goes on crying just the same. She sees Jasmine's effect of Therese in her later childhood. Well, for instance, in preparation for her first Holy Communion at age 10, she made and recorded 1949 sacrifices of 2773 short prayers. Jesus himself later taught her, as she put it, not to carry out my acts. Much worse, though, was her painful bout with scruples, which often goes along with cancer's thinking. Teresa's battles with scruples begins during her retreat in preparation for her first Holy Communion. A retreat that was led by a very severe priest. She remembers the experience that follows. What the priest told us was frightening. He spoke about mortal sin. He described the solemn state of sin and how much God hated it. Thankfully, Teresa put confidence in her dear sister Maria. Whatever she was tempted to think God had rejected her, but Maria's words only brought out temperate comfort, and Teresa's scruples followed by even into the Carmelites, also called Carmel. In fact, her sister Pauline, Mother Agnes, the fear of offending God poisoned Teresa's existence at the beginning of her religious life. Jansenism poisoned Teresa's early religious life, not only by creating in her an existence of fear of offending God, but also by causing her to develop an unhealthy preoccupation with suffering. This becomes clear through her letters of time. For instance, this is one example among many we read. Holiness does not consist of saying pretty things, not even thinking or feeling them. It consists of suffering from everything. Holiness, one must conquer it at the soul's point. One must suffer. One must agonize. Now, apart from the influence of Jainism, Teresa's loneliness is also the result of her simple being as a very fragile and broken little girl. Having lost her biological mother to cancer at age 3 and her adopted mother to coma at age 9, she became an emotional mess who would cry at the slightest provocation. In fact, and the others used to say, you cry so much, dear, during your childhood, you no longer have tears to shed later on. Her oversensitivity wouldn't be healed until she received the grace of her Christmas conversion at age 14. because Teresa's deep emotional fragility, which led to the debilitating psychological breakdown at age 10, her sisters shattered her and doted on her so much she became socially awkward and outcast and lonely when she finally started going to school. In fact, the other school kids bullied her and made fun of this little girl who didn't know how to join games. They couldn't even climb or couldn't even comb her own hair. In the midst of her extreme loneliness and sensitivity, Teresa deeply longed to be loved. In fact, hers was so great a longing that she admitted giving opportunities. She basically would have thrown herself in the arms of the first creature who came along. As she puts it, with the heart such as mine, I would have allowed myself to be taken and my wings to be clipped. I know without him, I could have fallen so low as St. Mary Magdalene. Thanks to be God that the Lord showed amazing mercy on this little soul by actually preserving her ahead of time from a life of grace sin, by removing obstacles that would have caused her to fall. Now, Therese was painfully aware of all the weaknesses just described or more. So don't even try to tell her that she's not a little soul. Where you to say that you probably looked in the eyes and responded in all seriously, my friend, there's nothing more lovely than I. Today's prayer. Come, O Holy Spirit, fire of mercy, help me to recognize my own loneliness and to rejoice in God's mercy. Amen. God bless you all. And have a great day. And those in the neighborhood, please join us at our carnival of St. David's in Davie, Florida this coming weekend. That's Thursday night. I know it's Friday. God bless you all. And remember, we will continue our DVD lessons from Father Michael Gately the following Friday. Okay? And that will begin after Stations of the Cross at St. David's Catholic Church in Davie, Florida University and Griffin Brook. Thank you, and God bless you all.